Hey everyone, welcome to Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to light the fire under the butts of all you media marketers out there.
I liked where that was going initially, Josh.
I took it in a different direction.
Yeah, I don't know if I like where it ended up.
Moving on. Today's topic, I thought we could talk about email marketing. It's a little bit not digital media or traditional media. It's a little out there for our typical episode, but I feel like it's super important.
Yeah, I always thought it was digital media.
Well, it is, but it's not like I'm buying ads,
yeah,
right?
That's true. Another function of digital media, though.
It is digital.
Okay.
I mean, I think so. Is that, that's what the E stands for in
I'm
email.
I'm taking it over.
Right?
Just kidding.
E?
It?
What does the
Electronic.
E stand for? Oh, yeah. See, you're smart.
I actually don't know if that's true.
It is true. It stands for electronic mail.
Yes. I mean, I knew it.
Julie, are you Googling?
Our producer okay, yeah. just looked it up. Okay.
Yep. We are smart people.
Yes.
Yeah. So what is electronic mail? It is mail that's electronic.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Care to define that?
What else is there to define? It's mail that I deliver to you electronically. Now, we all know what email is. Yes. It's messaging through.
I just wanted to see you define it.
This is going to be a great episode, guys. So, yeah, we all know what email is. We all know that everybody uses Gmail, or maybe you're old school and still on like an AOL.com. email address or Hotmail.
Yeah. Oh, and Yahoo. Dare I even say it? Some people. Like,
did you pronounce it Yahoo?
I mean, do you remember those days?
I actually still have a Yahoo email address.
I think I do somewhere. Could I log into it? No. But
I use it for spammy stuff okay. that I want to sign up for that I'm just curious about, but I don't actually want to receive the email marketing that we're talking about.
Got it.
That's
yeah,
what I use Yahoo for.
If you're emailing me in like AOL, I'm like, we're not probably friends, really. Do you feel that way?
I try not to judge people, Sasha.
Okay, and I live to judge
what
people.
Domain their email address is on. You do live to judge people.
Especially you. And we're going to judge you publicly. So, this is great.
Hey, you know what this makes me think?
What?
We need an email newsletter for our podcast.
Yeah.
Raise your hand, listeners, if you would like to receive email content from us.
Yeah, that'd be
great.
Cool.
All 3,000 of you just said yes. I can see it proactively because you're not actually listening to this yet.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we should do that.
Okay.
We should find a way to do that.
Yep.
Okay. But really, what in your mind, Sasha, is the really important piece of email? Like, I can tell you what I think, but I know you don't care.
You're right, I don't care. And I would say that you're just talking to someone who's already interested in your product. It's that level of direct communication that I think makes email so effective.
Yeah, I actually agree with you.
Yes.
It all comes down to like owning your own audience. Like,
yes.
You have collected these email addresses from people who truly want to hear from you, hopefully, and you're able to message them directly without any sort of like in between. There's no algorithm between you and them anymore, like yeah. there is with ad buying.
And I think email marketing is also really affordable and customizable. So when we're talking about media tactics, like to reach such a targeted audience with other tactics, I think you're going to spend more money. So in my opinion, I think it's really affordable and yeah, you can customize it as much as you'd like, which is cool.
We keep going down that route. What do you mean by customize?
So I think you might probably get into this, but you can kind of start, you know, segmenting your audiences and talking to individual interest groups and people who are interested in, you know, certain things they've clicked on your website. So it gets really granular, just really customizable. And then you can customize your creative, like you can get as wild as you want with it. And you can have a lot of content in email. So other tactics, you're limited on how much content you can have or like what you can say, especially a lot of traditional media, right? Like a billboard, you're limited to, you should be limited to 5 to 8 words. Not that anybody does, but you should be. And with email marketing, I mean, you can have paragraphs of engaging content that people are interacting with. Like, it's just, it's cool.
Well, there's the episode, guys. I don't have to talk anymore.
That's a wrap. Great.
Sasha can just take over the podcast. I'm going to go move to the UK.
No. I think we need some more details on everything I just talked about. I think we'd like you to expound.
That was a pretty good outline, though.
Okay, good.
I think what would be a natural segue here is like how you can use email marketing. And then we can talk about how to grow your email list, how to measure success. And then I've got some best practices I'll throw out there.
Nice. Let's do it.
So ways to use it. The way, especially for destinations, because yeah, we should talk about destinations and emails.
Yes.
Yes. So what we see to be really helpful for the clients that we work with would be a couple of different types of communication. One would be newsletter communication. So that would be more the type of content where we're sending timely information to people who have signed up to hear from you, where you're talking about events that are coming up, seasonal things to do, fresh new content, all that good stuff. So everyone knows what a newsletter is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, really effective for tourism. I feel like you should be doing at least newsletters, right, Josh?
For sure. And like we've talked a little bit about this before, but email marketing can serve to be some of that like retention piece. So if people have been to your destination before, it's a good way to stay in touch with them and to get them to be interested in coming back. So serving them that timely information in a newsletter could spur a last minute trip, which would be awesome.
Yeah, totally awesome.
And it's also a good way to engage with your locals. Like if you're doing things well and you can become a resource for news and information about the area for your locals, that's another great way to keep them engaged and see some value from what your organization is doing for them.
Yep, I like it.
Wow. So, secondly, one of the things that we do with our clients is we'll set up some automation, some email automation. Are you comfortable with what that is, Sasha?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind you just redefining it for everybody listening, not myself.
Cop out. Yeah. So what we like to do is we actually kind of take, this is letting the listeners behind the curtain a little bit, but we like to take almost a B2B approach to our email marketing for destinations, where we will collect email addresses through social ads or what have you, and then we will nurture those contacts with different types of content to get them from like an awareness stage of the funnel to more of like a let's book a trip stage of the funnel. And what we do is we automate all of that. So we create different triggers and logic that will take an individual contact and move them through this system of emails based on their own behavior and engagement. And it'll be a totally unique journey to them versus someone else who's on the same email list.
Okay. As you are saying, we're saying that, I am trying to think of another tactic that moves people down the funnel as effectively as email marketing. Can you think of one?
Like a standalone?
Yes.
Channel?
Yes.
Maybe social. Maybe. Okay. If you do social really well, you could.
And see and actually like understand the customer as they move through the funnel?
Probably not as granularly, not on a contact level. Yeah.
That's cool. I haven't thought of email marketing like that. That's
yeah.
Neat.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, and it's fun to keep, to let kind of users have their own experience. I mean, everybody will get similar content, but they'll move through it at different paces based on their own engagement. You're not going to end up spamming them with too much information. So I would definitely recommend, as you're looking for email serving tools, there's a million out there like MailChimp or Constant Contact, or we use Journeys by Autopilot.
What's your favorite though?
Well, I really like Journeys by Autopilot.
This is why we use it.
Okay. Yeah, it's awesome. It really, the pricing is relatively fair, and it does a really good job of allowing you to drag and drop, build these automations in kind of like a flow chart style. And it's cool. Very user friendly.
Love a good flow chart.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't?
I didn't know that about you. No, I know what I'm going to get you for Christmas.
Oh, you were going to get me a present? That's news.
Not anymore. Anyway.
Okay, Josh, so tell us how you actually go about building your audience. What does that process look like?
That's a good question, Sasha. So there's a number of ways our destinations, or how I recommend destinations, go about building an audience. So I think one of the first things you should do is create some calls to action on your website that encourage people to sign up for newsletters and to learn more about your destination. Really easy, just email address and maybe name only, some very small form, very low friction, and let people sign up that way. You can couple that with, and I also recommend doing this would be like gating your visitor guides. So there's pros and cons to this, and I've had debates with many of our clients about whether or not they should or shouldn't put a form in front of their visitor guides. And in my opinion, if someone is really interested in visiting, they're going to be willing to put an email address down in order to download a PDF. Yes, you might lose some downloads by putting that form in front of it, but the value of those downloads will go up, if that makes sense, by putting a gate in front of it.
Totally. More engaged customers.
Yes. And then if you are putting a gate in front of it, you can use that as kind of a conversion tool for your ads too. It'll be much easier to track your ad engagement based on how many people are downloading that guide by filling out their form, and then you can improve your targeting on your social ads or what have you. Nice. We see that work really well, and especially when we take those travel guide download email addresses and drop them into an email nurture, like those that we were talking about earlier, they really do perform well through the funnel. So
awesome.
Highly recommend doing that. Yes. Other things you can do, I know a lot of publisher partners will help build email lists if you can engage with them to help find potential leads for you. We also will do occasional like social form ads. So not even sending people to your website to get a travel guide. They can just sign up for it right there on the Facebook ad. And
cool.
And then that's even less friction because they don't have to go to the site and then click around and then try to find the place to download it. They can just do it right there.
Do you find that people are trustworthy enough to enter their information into Facebook versus a personal website? Like, do you see any kind of drop off there?
Like in...
with privacy concerns or...
No, actually, we get really high conversion rates when we do those forms on Facebook.
Nice.
Probably higher than if we're sending people to the websites. Because usually, and no offense to all our destination partners out there, but sometimes websites are not always the most easy to navigate or find exactly what you're looking for unless you have a really good page built out for it. So giving people a frictionless way to download this guide is a great way to do it.
Yeah, they're like, Facebook already has all my information anyways, so if they take it as well, then they've already got it.
And Facebook doesn't store that information.
Yeah,
Well, I take that back. They will store those email addresses. They will store those email addresses for, I think they keep them for 60 to 90 days, and then they expire and disappear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Now you just hear like, oh, they already know everything about me, you know. So anyways, just playing into that. You digital marketers.
We're the worst.
Yeah. Stalkers. So with all this talk about email marketing, how do you measure success with email marketing?
Well, that's a great question. It's almost like we set it up for that. There's a number of ways to measure success. Typically, historically, what you want to look at is your open rates. So out of everybody that you sent the email to, how many of them are actually opening the email? And then your click-through rates of those who open the email, how many are clicking on the links that you have in there?
So give me some benchmark open rates, like with the tourism industry. What have you seen that's, you know, if we're receiving this open rate, we're doing well?
So kind of what I would like to see from any of our destination clients, especially with kind of a higher funnel list, these are really fresh leads, I'd like to see open rates in the 20% range.
Okay,
so
that's high.
Yeah, if you're seeing less than that, it's not the end of the world, but you might want to think about where you're getting those contacts because they maybe are not as good as you think they are.
Got it.
But what we have seen with some of our clients, if we've got really good targeting on our ads and we know exactly where these people are coming from, we'll see open rates in the 30s to 40%.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is so cool. And speaking from like an engagement perspective, like no one ad platform has that level of engagement.
No, that's really high.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's awesome.
So for click-through rates, that will totally vary based on what the content is like and what your calls to action are. So you want to probably see something in the 3 to 5% range if you're looking at clicks from opens, not clicks from total sends, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But it'll depend on the quality of your call to action, how many links there are to click in your email. If you're just sending like a letter to your email list and there's nothing for them to click on, you're not going to have much of a click-through rate.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, and I don't know why you would do that anyway. Unless you have something to apologize for. And in that case, we should talk PR.
Yeah.
But that's for another time.
Yeah, let's not get into that. Can of worms.
But I do, there's a couple other things I want to mention when it comes to measuring success. But the most important that's really timely right now, Apple is once again making things very difficult for us marketers. So in iOS 15, the latest version of Apple's iPhone operating system, there is now the ability to opt in to what they call the Mail Privacy Protection. MPP is what they call it.
Okay.
And what that does is it will disguise a lot of user behavior to email senders. So essentially what happens is if I'm sending an email to someone who has iOS 15 and they've opted into Mail Privacy Protection, it will automatically show that it's been opened, whether or not it has actually been opened. So as adoption of iOS 15 grows and people opt into this privacy protection, the accuracy of open rates is going to go down.
Okay, I have to know, are you an Apple user?
I'm not.
Okay, I was going to say you're Android. Is it because of all this?
No, I just like Google better.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think as adoption of iOS 15 grows, everybody's going to see their open rates improve, which is going to feel really good until you remember that a lot of it's artificial. So you can't rely on open rates as much anymore. I think eventually, once adoption's more holistic across iPhone users, you'll have new benchmarks you can start to measure against.
Got it.
You'll start to learn what your averages are. And so when you see emails that are improving beyond that, that'll help. But the one silver lining right now is iOS 15, based on the last stats I looked at, only has been adopted by about 20% of iPhone users. And only I don't remember exactly how many of those people have opted into the privacy protection stuff.
But a lower number.
Yeah. So it's not fully adopted yet, but it's going to continue to grow in the coming months. And probably by a year from now, open rates will be basically useless. So something else we should talk about when it comes to measuring performance, especially now that we've talked about the iOS 15 stuff, is how people behave once they click on a link in an email, what they're doing on the site afterwards. So let's say we're sending some emails about you know, places to book a trip and we're sending them to the lodging page, what we'll want to know is, using Google Analytics, like, once they've clicked through the email, are they then clicking on our referral links to our partners? Or if we have a booking engine, are they actually booking? That kind of tracking is going to be more and more important as we lose the
what?
Open rate data.
Nice save.
Got it. Nailed it. So, and then another thing that would be ideal, and I know is difficult for all of you, is getting more insight from your partners in the community about how people perform on their websites when you send traffic to them. I know that's part of the whole reason DMO's websites exist, is to send traffic to your partners, your lodging partners, your restaurants, et cetera, beyond that. And they should be able to see in their own analytics how people behave when they come from your site to their site. And mapping that back to emails would be really a good thing to do. But I know it takes a lot of coordination and buy-in from everyone. And
yeah.
Who's got time for that?
Yeah. So, Josh, what about best practices for email marketing? Do you have a few tips for our listeners?
Well, one of them, I thought you could chime in a little bit on, was I don't believe that even though email on its own can perform above and beyond any other ad platform, it's not always good to do in a vacuum. And there are a lot of ways to elevate email performance using other tactics. And I know, Sasha, you and I have coordinated on a few of these projects before, so I thought you could talk a little bit about stuff you've done.
Yes. And I think it's good not to do any tactic in a vacuum, really, if we're talking about that. But I think one of the best traditional media tactics that pairs with email is direct mail. There are a lot of really cool things you can do with direct mail. And you can also, you can make it all automated. And I mean, there's fantastic pairings with email marketing and direct mail. And you can be hitting your audience with direct mail and then also kind of automating your email to hit them, you know, a few days after or whatever cadence you want. And so, I think that can be a very, very effective play when you're pairing those.
Email with traditional mail.
Yes.
What?
Exactly.
Do we call that T-mail?
T&E mail. I stand by it.
No, we're never using that again. I especially, you know, we've talked in some of our other episodes about marketing mixes and all that, and the multiple touch points you need, having those physical and electronic touches are just
Just super multiple important. Touch points, higher frequency. Yeah, get those people to convert, come visit you.
Yeah. Other things that we should talk about as far as best practices go, you need to make sure that the people who are you're sending your emails to actually want to get your emails. I can't emphasize this enough, especially if you're doing anything that could remotely touch international users, especially in the EU. Or, I mean, California is basically the European Union in the U.S. as far as some of their privacy laws go.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we make sure all of our clients do is what we call a double opt-in process. So when they're signing up to get emails from you, you make sure that there's a little disclaimer that they're opting into marketing messages. And let's use the travel guide downloads as an example. There's a checkbox that they check that says they're opting into additional messages beyond the travel guide download. And then when we send them that email, we also ask them to confirm their subscription so that we're getting them to verify that they actually want to hear from us. And then we can start marketing them with our newsletters and our marketing automation. There are so many privacy laws that are mainly international, like I said, that require you to have that double opt-in process, that while it's not required in most places in the U.S., it's a best practice to have. And making sure your email list is full of people who really want to hear from you will actually lessen the chance of your emails landing in spam folders and that kind of thing, because they're going to be more engaged. And as email servers see that these emails get engagement, they're going to show up in spam folders less.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so what other tips do you have for us, Josh?
Keep your email lists clean.
Got it.
So in addition to doing that double opt-in process, you also want to expel any contacts that have either already unsubscribed because you shouldn't be trying to send to them anyway, or any email addresses that are bouncing. Like, those are the ones that are a bounce is when you send an email to an email address that maybe no longer exists. And by eliminating those, you'll improve your stats. And that's a good thing.
Is that a manual process, or do some of these platforms do that for you automatically?
There are ways you can create automation for it in some of these platforms.
Got it. Okay.
Others, it might be more of a manual process.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. Another thing you should do if you're keeping your email lists clean that we've been doing is, if someone hasn't opened an email in 6+ months, they're clearly not engaged anymore.
Yeah.
Might as well toss them out. Now that we can't judge open rates as well, that's going to be a little trickier. Best practices on how to measure that to be determined.
Yeah, I would love that, actually, if the emails I get that I'm no longer engaged with purge me after 6 months instead of me like a year later unsubscribing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice. I wish everyone did that.
Everybody will appreciate it.
No, but I wish companies did that.
I know.
Yeah.
And so let's start a revolution here.
Okay.
Let's do it. Oh, along those lines, if it's not already obvious, something you have to do is provide unsubscribe options on every single email you send out. That is a legal requirement, and you could get in major doo-doo if you don't have that.
Yeah.
Also, make sure that... Well, one of the things you were mentioning this at the very beginning,
yes,
when you basically took over the episode.
I know where this is going.
Yeah. We segment your audiences. So you've got this list. You can measure how they're behaving and you can see what types of content they're engaging with. Start to create lists of people who are engaging with certain types of content more than others. So maybe you've got people who are really clicking more on the hiking sort of stuff, create a hiking-oriented list of people and create content specifically for them. Same would go for people who are clearly interested in booking a trip and maybe is more lodging-oriented, or maybe you have a lot of horseback riding and
sure.
maybe you're like an equestrian destination and there's a lot of people who like to ride horses and you could send them content.
Sounds cool. I think segmenting is so interesting with email marketing. That's why I mention it, because that's what I always think about when I think about email marketing. I just think it's so cool.
Yeah.
To have that insight and like niche down on your audience.
But if you're going to, do it, you have to set up the tracking in order to do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're making guesses and it's going to suck. So
and the more targeted messaging you have to the targeted groups, the more effective mm-hmm. they'll be because they're receiving the content they want to receive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nailed cool. it. Yeah. It's super cool. Along those same lines, do some testing. There are ways, especially in most of these tools, where you can create two different versions of the same email, split the list, and then see how people engage with it differently. If you're wanting to figure out like if one format of your emails is going to be more engaging than another, definitely test it out and keep testing and
yep,
keep testing.
Testing is good.
Yes. And then the final thought I throw out there is be predictable, but also be unpredictable.
Okay.
So, does that make sense?
Expound for it.
Okay. So if you're sending newsletters mm-hmm. or you've got some automation going, make sure you're sending at regular intervals, like so that people can start to know that like, okay, I'm always going to get my newsletter from Texaho on Tuesdays. Like, that's good for them to know, especially if they're going to be engaged. They want to know when it's coming. I know I'm that way with a couple email newsletters I subscribe to. I know when they're coming and I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to it because I'm a nerd.
Yes.
But when you have something special that you want to make sure people engage with, because you've been so predictable in when you're sending things, sending something out of the norm sometime other than when you normally send will make it stand out in someone's inbox.
Okay.
So if you always send on Tuesdays, but you have something special you want to send out in kind of a one-off message, send it on a Thursday instead, and people will pay attention better. But if you're always sending on a different day of the week and a different time, like, you're never going to be able to stand out based on when you're sending.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So there you go. That's nice. Josh's tips and tricks on email marketing.
I liked it. No, super important channel. If you're not looking at it, definitely look at it. And if you're not segmenting, start looking into that.
No, like this is 2021, folks. Yep. We all should be doing email marketing. We all should be doing it relatively sophisticated. If you are still using MailChimp, graduate to something more sophisticated.
There you go.
There's lots out there. Do it.
I like it.
Cool. Well, Sweet. That's it for today, folks. You can find us on all the social medias like
LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Instagram.
What?
And TikTok.
No way.
Yeah, I like that enthusiasm.
It's so much fun.
So much fun.
Yeah. Halloween just happened.
Yes.
And that was kind of creepy.
That was a good one.
Yeah, check it out. Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.